Good morning, all. This is Jeremiah Thomas. I'm sitting here with Brandon Barrett. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm good this morning, Jeremiah. How about you?
I'm doing very well. This is not a Getting to Know Grace podcast. This is a one-off of that. I've been getting several questions in my life group from people outside and other life groups, life group leaders, on and on and on. The trail goes on Revelation. Are we in a sermon series on Revelation right now, Brandon?
In fact, we are, Jeremiah. I'm glad you picked up on that.
And so here we are, Brandon and I sitting together, and we thought that it might be a good and a cool idea just to maybe talk a little bit about the book of Revelation, where we've been, where we're going to be going. We're about halfway through the sermon series at this point, and to remember what this series is about and to see and just perhaps address some of these issues that I feel I've heard come up often. Brandon, what's Revelation about?
I'm with you. I'm looking forward to this podcast too, Jeremiah, because I've still got a lot of questions about Revelation.
So, yeah.
So maybe right. Between the two of us, we can clear it up. You know, I think maybe it is good just to take a pause in the middle of the series. You know, while we're talking, I'm looking over my list of kind of where we've been and where we're headed in the series. And, you know, if you remember, we had a section of this series back in the fall where we looked at the letters to the seven churches, which was, you know, those seven churches in Asia Minor represent the church as a whole throughout time. So they had their individual issues, but, you know, God's word, it's meant to speak to us and to the church as a whole.
Right.
So we kind of dealt with those churches, and then we moved into, you know, Revelation proper, what everybody tends to think about with Revelation, where suddenly, you know, chapter 4, chapter 5, John's there in the midst of the worship of heaven.
Right.
And things get rolling. I mean, so once we hit that, starting in chapter 4, once we hit that section of the book of Revelation, we spent a couple weeks in chapter 4 and 5 looking at the worship that's going on in heaven. We talked about the ways in chapter 4 it's directed towards God the Father. And in chapter 5, how the one like a lamb who was slain shows up on the scene. And that set the tone and sets the tone for Revelation of this all takes place within the context of a God who is reigning in heaven, who is giving the revelation that we need,
right,
who has things firmly in hand, and you know, from there he starts to give John things to say as he shows him what's going to happen and what's in the middle of happening.
And so So we are in the middle, and that's a good way, I think, to stop right here, because John is being shown things.
Right.
And, you know, I think this comes up almost every Sunday morning. It comes up probably at every life group. There are some weird things being shown. You know, how has the apocalyptic imagery, have you felt bogged down in that? Or you know, what might you be able to speak to? Because we kind of hit it in passing, right? At every sermon, be it you preaching or me preaching, it's like, hey, this is crazy stuff. Look at it like a picture, and then we move on. But what else could we say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are different ways to, in almost different speeds at which, even as individuals, we can read Scripture.
Right.
You know what it's like where you, if you tackle a, I'm going to read the Bible in a year program,
right,
then that's going to have you reading several chapters at a time. And what that does for you is, over the course of the year, it gives you this big sweep on the story of Scripture. You know, it's different if you said, over the next year, I'm going to study the book of Romans.
Right.
And every morning you got up and you tackled two verses and you took like a deep plunge on each little section like that. And those have different values.
Right.
You know, if all you ever did was the deep plunge, you might have a deep grasp of sort of the theology of Romans, but you might have no idea of the sweep of the biblical story. So
right,
both of those are important. And I think with Revelation, we're doing more than just the broad sweep. Like, we're going a little deeper on some things, but, you know, we're not obviously spending tons of time in each little picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people love to do that. There can maybe be some fruit to that. The problem is, I think the more you do that, the more you really get into serious speculation. Okay, Jeremiah, I'm going to go nerdy on you. One of my favorite classes
here we
in
go.
College was art history.
Okay.
And if you think about an impressionist painting, or there was even a school of art called pointillism.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember seeing a, there's a picture with like these people next lounging next to a river, like it's like a park scene, and there's somebody with an umbrella, but if you look, it's all like little dots. Mm. And if you stand back far enough, you're like, oh, it's a picture of people out at the river and stuff. But if you stand close, you're like, it's just a ton of dots. Mm. Like, you have to get a certain distance back
right.
for it to come into focus. And I, that's the kind of the approach we're taking in Revelation. Like, we're not getting down and going, okay, the locusts, are those really Apache helicopters?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that what John's even trying to accomplish? Instead, we're saying, we're taking a step back and saying, you know, in all of history, mm-hmm. there is a war. We're going to get into this week with chapter 12. There's yep. this war between our great enemy, Satan, and the people of God.
Mm.
In chapter 12, which again, which we're talking about Sunday, is sort of this overall picture of like that whole story. So when we talk about the last few weeks, 1260 days,
yep.
you know, 40 months, time, times, half a time, like all of those
oh, yeah.
refer to the same period of time, which... You know, the angle I'm taking, and as I've studied, I think that really represents the whole time between Jesus when he came and when he mm-hmm. returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, are things going to heat up in some sense, like in the timeline before Jesus actually comes back? Probably so. But Revelation's giving us a picture of not only that, or maybe that, but it's giving us a picture of what it feels like for this whole period mm-hmm. of time. You know, so in other words, like, there's all kinds of upheaval all the time right now. And that's because we live in a fallen world, and that's because we have a real enemy, and Jesus is really going to come back and bring peace. But in the middle of it right now is the church. Like, we're in spiritual battle.
For sure.
And there's suffering involved and all of that. Like, that's our eyes. Another way of looking at it is our eyes aren't just pointed in the future with binoculars. Like, man, I wonder when things are going to get hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard right now.
Right.
I wonder when Satan's going to hate the church and want to destroy it. He wants to do that right now.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that I think that really speaks to this sermon series and the title that you grabbed onto, which is obviously, you know, we've heard this as well from a sermon series previously at a church in Tennessee by Scotty Smith, Unveiled Hope, and that hope is for now. You know, as we kind of back up a little bit, like you said with that painting by the river, you're right that we could get bogged down very easily, but as we take a step back and we look and we see there is hope, as you mentioned, with Revelation 4 and 5, we are dealing with a God who is reigning and who has this history in hand, has this present in hand, and has this future in hand. And so as we're going through the hard times now, which we are, and you know, to look to the future might just tire us out, but we can know that that's coming. But for that unveiled hope, that's powerful. I've really latched onto that. It's been very encouraging to me to not lose that in the midst of this of this series. Which, you know.
And you know, some of that's we're approaching this as 21st century believers.
Right.
But remember, when this came to its first audience, I mean, in some ways, they were more familiar with an apocalyptic genre of writing. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I doubt that they necessarily read it and were like, oh, the locust, that is the new Roman chariot that just came out this year. Like,
right.
like, I mean, I think it would have had some big picture comfort for them, too.
Right.
It was, God has things firmly mm-hmm. in control. It is hard. There is suffering. Jesus suffered before glory. You are going to be in the midst of suffering, mm-hmm. but Christ is returning. Hang
right.
on, your Savior has you. So it would have been, in some ways, understanding it, I think, might have had the same big picture impact for the first audience that it does for us.
Which would then make a lot more sense of those little nuggets that we get in Revelation. I'm looking at one right now, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. You know, when we... That's another thing, and you addressed it briefly with the time, times, half a time, 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5, on and on we go, even 1,000 years, we'll get this millennium feel, but the time is near. Mm-hmm. This John's concept of time and the fact that it is, sometimes when he's writing, not exactly linear, I think can
right,
help us.
I think
us.
Maybe, yeah, not at all linear sometimes.
And
yeah.
We want, you were talking about the 21st century reading. I mean, I crave that linear, just, okay, this, and then this, but we might need to step back.
You know, yeah, I mean, think about the ways, not only we get like a newspaper article, but even if you're following something online on the news and it's coming in from reporters tweeting, Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting moment by moment updates in a linear fashion, and that's just not the way John is telling the story.
So you're saying that John's not tweeting?
John was not tweeting.
Okay.
We're safe to say that. You know, so where we're going in the next few weeks in between chapters, you know, it's even started in chapter 10, but as we head into chapter 12 and then really up through chapter 18, we've got a few weeks talking about the war between Satan and the church, mm-hmm. and what it means that he is bringing oppression. And then ultimately we're coming to a picture of judgment on Satan, and as well as judgment on the unbelieving world.
Right.
But then the last 3 weeks of this, as we head into April, right after Easter, we're going to have about 3 weeks of, from Revelation chapter 19 to chapter 22, 3 weeks and three different pictures of what the consummation of God's presence looks like. You know, we get the picture of New Jerusalem mm-hmm. coming down, like a new city that's coming down. We get the picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Like all mm-hmm. there's these great pictures at the end of the beauty of where we're headed. Mm-hmm. The frustrating thing for us sometimes is we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll do better if we just sort of acknowledge what God tells us, which is things are hard. You are living in a fallen world. You're to live with hope because one day all this is going to be put right. But you're in the middle of the story. Mm-hmm. We don't know how long we'll be in the middle of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some people from the outside might just say that's, you know, that's just hope in the by and by. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if it's wishful thinking, that's one thing. If it's the way God's writing the script, it's another. Mm-hmm. You know, when your parents put their arm around you and say, "I know you really can't wait for this, but we're just not there yet." What do? You trust your parents and that they know what they're talking about. God's taking us where He wants us to go.
That's powerful. You know, we're not looking to wax eloquent on this. I think that we've answered what we sought to do, which was to speak a little bit about Revelation and to help, I think, everyone kind of as we're in this journey together. It can be at times exhausting, right? You know, when we look at these passages and when we dive deeply in and when we're looking at this big picture, we can leave and our brains and our spirits can be fatigued. And yet, just like running, I think as our endurance grows, we'll come to the end of this with hope truly unveiled from God's scripture. And so I've enjoyed it so far. Thank you for talking with me for just a little bit.
Thanks, Jeremiah. Yep. All right, we'll keep going.
I'll keep going.